Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today on the Back Row Fantasy Show, Arms and I are going to talk a lot of things football. Shocker! On the Back Row Fantasy Show, starting now.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts, Jeremy Barker, Aaron Arms, and Brian Hucks.
A day late and a dollar short. Actually, 3 days late, right?
Yeah.
Can we get some 3 days grace for being 3 days late?
I'm going to guess no.
Probably not. And not from Bauer, at the very least. Like, Bauer's not going to give us any leeway. He's asked me 2 days in a row, is there a show? Because I don't see it. The answer, there wasn't. There is now. So, welcome. It's me and Arms, yet again, on the Back Row Fantasy Show. Arms, how are you doing today?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
That's becoming one of my favorite intro moments.
Yeah.
Just, Arms, how's it going today?
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares how it's going for us. But
yeah, well, that's okay.
It is. We're back in the studio. That's all that matters. Second time back?
Yeah. Yeah. We
two time.
Yep. Yep. Beautiful day out. We're doing this in 5 o'clock or 5:30 on Memorial Day.
Oh, it's a great day out.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a great day.
It's sunny. So
yeah.
What are you going to talk about today, Bark? I was at this goes all the way back to the draft. At former co-host Chad Niddle's house, I was having a couple beers, and we ended up talking with a couple of our buddies, Justin Rippeth, John Ferris, and think about quarterback, wide receiver combos that were really good in college that came to the NFL, and both players were good. So if you think about who all the starting quarterbacks all around the league are, the only name that comes to mind was Stafford and A.J. Green.
That played together.
Played together in college.
And then went on to the NFL and achieved good
both
success.
Both had success.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but I don't consider a 500-yard year receiver successful.
No,
I don't consider a 2,500-yard passer successful.
Yeah. Well, I was going to – one of the thoughts, which is random, that came in my head was Jameis and Auden Tate, but I don't think Auden Tate's not successful. If he's successful this year, can add him to the
list.
Did
they play together?
Yes. Yeah.
Man, it must have only been for a year.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think it was like the last year. Pretty certain of that. I could be wrong, but I thought they did for a year.
But even still, right? So think about it. I mean, the only other name that comes to mind with moderate success is like Derek Anderson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Chad Johnson.
Did
Oregon State, they're the ones that had Steven Jackson as running back?
Yeah.
That was an NCAA cheat team.
Did Deshaun Watson have a guy?
Did he play with Hopkins?
That's why I'm asking.
If he did, which that would be two.
So 2017.
I feel like he played with Sammy and not Hopkins.
He was a rookie in 17.
You can't really. I'm sorry, and I know there's still a lot of truthers out there. You can't call Sammy Watkins a success.
Hopkins has been in the league since 13.
Okay.
So I don't think that's the case. if you know any, or if, or if, you know, you
there's
want to throw
probably
any
a Clemson
us,
guy.
I guarantee. Yeah,
there's
probably
a Clemson guy with Watkins. We know that.
Yeah, more than likely.
Or Watson, Watkins. Damn it.
But yeah, if you know a combo currently in the league, I guess you can go past as well. Past combos, quarterback and wide receiver were successful. Throw them at us on Twitter at the Back Row Show.
So why are we bringing this up? Because rookies, there's two rookies at quarterback that had high profile receivers in both Burrow and Tua, and the signs point to both of them failing.
Or
crazy enough,
or the Alabama wide receivers fail.
Yeah, or the LSU receivers fail. A possibility. I mean, the signs point to one of, you know, one of them isn't as good as the other one made him look. That's what the signs point to. Now, I disagree. I will trust my own eyes and say that by all accounts, all the Alabama receivers are going to be fine.
Kyler Murray and CD Lamb. If CD Lamb is good, there's a combo.
But he's not there. He's brand
new.
I know what I mean?
I know. We're thinking future. I'm thinking future wise as well. Like the odds are good on those two.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I keep just going back and thinking and trying to think of different ones. And like I said, someone's got to be with Deshaun Watson. There's got to had to have been a good, at least a high. I mean, it's a high prospect. But heck, really, Nook's the only quality Clemson wide receiver out there, if I'm not mistaken.
Did anyone play with Baker?
Name a successful Oklahoma wide receiver in the NFL right now. That's my point. See what I mean?
Yeah, I just off the top of my head, I got nothing.
Yeah, so
not off the top.
I mean, in all the stud, you know, quarterbacks out there, you know, most of them really come from quote non-quarterback schools.
Yeah. Very true.
I mean,
and a lot of quarterbacks come from places where they didn't play. I mean, Carson Wentz, what was that, South Dakota?
Yeah,
State,
South Dakota State, I think.
Like that. Matt Ryan was Boston College. Yep. I mean, there's Dak Prescott. I don't know if he played with any. No, Mississippi State, probably not. Lamar Jackson.
Louisville.
I don't recall. Did he play with Devontae Parker? Can we?
God, no.
No, that's years apart. Weird. Six and two. 4 years apart, 5 years apart. So yeah, no. Oh well, it's tough to wrap your head around, honestly.
Yeah. So anyhow, like I said, if you think of a good combo, let us know. But that, like I said, it begs the question: were the receivers just that damn good, or did the quarterback make the receivers look good? I don't know. Once again, I feel like both of them are going to be successful in the NFL. But man, it's. The signs point otherwise.
They do. So that could the times
one half of each combo.
Could the times be a change in? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So, but as far as like this should be one of those things off the top of our heads, we should have examples besides Stafford and AJ Green. And for you to go Stafford and AJ Green, you have to think about that. So obviously you and the other guys have thought
we
about
literally
this.
Went through the entire NFL.
Right. So you've thought about it, and that's what you came up with. So just the names of Stafford and A.J. Green who aren't as relevant today means you dug a little.
Yeah.
So it's there's nothing off the top of the head. Good conversation starter. Second thing, just because why not, let's talk about Ryan Leaf. Ryan Leaf.
What about him?
He's a bust again. Not only was he a bust in the NFL, now he's a bust as a broadcaster. Arrested for domestic, was it violence? Domestic dispute
God.
Or domestic violence? Let me see here.
At this point.
Domestic battery charge.
The guy obviously has, it was obviously at a young age, he's got anger issues. You know what I mean? I mean, he's like the Manchurian candidate, you know, ended up just, he's not all there. There's something that makes him snap, and that's the reason he couldn't put it together in the NFL.
Right. Now, it's a misdemeanor battery charge, so I'm sure he's probably already out. But what was the battery charge? I've not seen anything since it was reported as to what he had done for this to happen. But There we go again. This has been the craziest season for former and current NFL players getting it. I mean, we've got the Quentin Dunbar and DeAndre Baker situation.
And I hear they're going to get off.
I mean, I'm sure they have many, many times in their young adulthood lives, but this time they'll probably get off the hook for jail.
Suddenly the witnesses
squirt.
I got you. I understand where you're going. I choose to ignore it.
Oh, okay.
The witnesses just can't be sure anymore, and they decided not to press charges. From the guys who robbed them.
Do you think the witnesses are a little richer right now? Is
that yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely think they were well compensated for the mistake. Also, guys, you're in the NFL. What the hell would you rob somebody for? You can't afford it. If you can't, guess what? That is your fault. You burnt the money.
I got six words for you that come from
suck it.
Oh. From either late 90s or early 2000s tune. The reason they forget that they're in the NFL and do these things, get fucked up, stay fucked up.
Roll into the club in a navigator truck.
There you go.
There we go.
So in a long corona-filled offseason of no football, no responsibility, they don't have to report to shit except for a little online thing here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can use some filters to make sure the red eye's gone.
Yeah.
Get fucked up, stay fucked up. I mean, the guys that are not veterans, that are disciplined and just over that stage of their careers, they are partying hard this corona season. There's no reason not to. It's going to be interesting to see how many players get injured once football resumes, because
it's going to be a lot,
because these guys are not football ready. And it's going to be interesting to see how many of these guys' bodies are dramatically different and how many of them have aged due to whatever it is they're doing.
Adrenochrome.
I mean, seriously.
No, you're right.
If you went a good 6 months on meth, do you think?
I don't think they're doing meth, but I get what you're saying.
To rob people, I
don't think you'd do it because you smoked a little weed.
At no point have I ever heard.
Well, a stoned man today robbed somebody for a bag of Cheetos.
Well,
I might eat your pizza without asking, but I ain't going to freaking hold you at gunpoint.
Judge, I apologize. I was a little high on marijuanas whenever I was out in the street naked, demanding people give me their jewelry with my penis in my hand while I was pointing a gun at everyone. I was just on marijuanas. I had a few too many marijuanas.
Yes, I had two marijuanas that day.
Two whole marijuanas. I should have kept it at one, and this is just what happened.
Oh, it's like... You sound like Russell Wilson with cornrows.
No.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to buy some drugs. Yeah. I'll take two marijuanas, please.
Two marijuanas, please.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, if some of these guys are partying hard, listen, I'm a year away from 40.
Hello, fellow criminals.
And when I see someone I graduated with sometimes and forget that I graduated with them, sometimes I'm like, oh, man, look at that old guy. And I'm like, oh, shit.
It's like, oh, you age like a gallon of milk.
I graduated with that guy. Yeah. Why does he look so much older than me?
It's the marijuanas. Oh, my God. No, I can tell you right now, like, I've drank a little bit heavy this weekend. I've had 3 or 4 days of...
You didn't have to tell him.
Of putting them away. Well, no, I'm saying, my point is, like, I'm feeling rough today, you know, and I can only imagine what some of these guys who are excessively wealthy, who are partying, you know, partying up all the time, how they're going to end up. I just, man, I hope it isn't an injury-plagued season, but I'm telling you, I feel like you're right.
It just makes sense.
This might be the season of the handcuff.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Brady might have
that
a huge...
That was a transition there.
Oh,
what we were talking about?
Handcuff.
You see what I mean?
It went right past me. My head was already on a swivel thinking about how Tom Brady could look young again due to some of these guys doing nothing in the offseason. Like, the playing field might be leveled from the super athletes like David Njoku to the older guys like Ben Hartsock. Don't know where that came from.
He's from just up the road. You need it.
But I was actually trying to think of a different Ben Watson. That's who I was thinking of, somebody like an older guy tied in that all of a sudden looks spry because the younger guys have been partying and the playing field is now even. But
You know, there's a lot of them, though, that they understand this is their career. And they're,
oh, more than not, I would imagine.
90% of them are going to are busting ass every day anyway.
75.
Well,
I mean, there's going
to
be
a lot to get to the NFL.
There's going to be a shit ton of players getting hurt because the only football they were getting ready for was Madden. So, I mean, and that's happening. We got Joe Mixon play. Did you see that? Joe Mixon, I think, moved on to the semifinals of the Madden Championships for like a celebrity charity type thing.
I didn't see that.
Is Mixon and Jamal Charles, I think. Jamal Charles smoked Cam Jordan, I believe, and Mixon destroyed some other player, like 84 to nothing. Like, oh, wow. It was something crazy, but.
Was his running back by chance Joe Mixon?
No, he played. Mixon played with the Chiefs, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think that.
Jamal Charles probably played with the Ravens.
The Eagles. I think the Eagles.
Wow.
I'll have to look that up. It was actually.
They must have had injuries.
This is the
off.
Times we live in. This is interesting to us. So we got, let's see, Joe Mixon. It's going to take too long to find. Anyways. Yeah, one was the Eagles, one was the Chiefs. I probably got it backwards. But moving on from players playing Madden, I mentioned Tom Brady being on an even playing field. Reason I mentioned him is, did you look at any of the highlights or any of the fun clips from the golf outing yesterday?
I watched it.
Did you?
I watched part of it.
Tom
Brady's cool. not real good at golf.
No, Peyton is.
Peyton is very good at golf.
Peyton's a good golfer. So I enjoyed some of the back and forth between those guys.
When you're on a team with Tiger Woods, and by the way, Tiger looked incredible yesterday. I mean, just everything he hit was just a line drive, perfectly straight, landed where he wanted it. But when you're on a team with Tiger Woods and Tiger's playing the way he did yesterday and you're still taking some of Peyton's shots, oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, Peyton was very impressive.
Yeah.
Of course, he's had some time to work on that golf game now that he's been retired.
He has. And you know, out of all the former quarterbacks you're talking about, golfers, like, you know, Peyton Manning was going to master another sport.
Oh, yeah. He's very cerebral.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But, yeah, Peyton was talking about who his caddy could be, and he was like, you know, he's like, well, I almost had Bill Belichick as my caddy. He's like, but that might have caused problems. He's like, I thought about Nick Foles, and Tom Brady turned around and said that was a cheap shot. Nick Foles was a cheap shot.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And what was the other
one? Eli's obviously above it, you know.
He mentioned Eli as being his caddy, yeah. But, yeah, there was a bunch of good back and forths. I think what did Brady say to Manning? He said, oh, God, that's going to drive me nuts because it was actually really funny. I actually reposted it because Tom Brady's winning me over a little bit lately. Like, I don't despise him anymore.
Well, it's probably the same way Brett Favre won people over at the end of his career. Like, you started to learn you should probably appreciate what he's still doing while he's still doing it. But I still hate Tom Brady.
I'm starting to not. I really am. Like, he just seems – my biggest thing with football players are be humble. Like, be humble. Like, this whole Michael Thomas versus Devontae Parker crap that's been going on. Michael Thomas is the least humble dude that I know on Twitter right now. Like, he's a fucking diva.
I don't care. He's
I know you star. Don't care. Well, for fantasy purposes, I don't care either. I'm drafting him in the first round every time I'm out of running back range. But my God, is he I want to say mean stuff about Michael
what's
Thomas.
What's he saying? I'm missing this.
It was somebody posted on Twitter, like, it was Michael Thomas. What was better, Michael Thomas doing this or Devontae Parker roasting Stephon Gilmore, who was NFL Defensive Player of the Year?
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Parker actually, I stand a little corrected on some things. Like, a few times, he separated from big-time cornerbacks. And someone said, you know, A or B, which was more impressive, Michael Thomas doing this or Devontae Parker doing this? Devontae Parker replied, B, voted for himself.
Oh, of course.
And Michael Thomas just straight jumped in and was being a little bitch. Like an absolute little bitch. God. Like, he said something to Devontae Parker like, you know, it took you 5 damn years to have one good play against one good player. Like, being a real jerk. And Devontae Parker was like, I'd do the same thing as you if I got targeted 300 times a year. Like, it was just a back and forth from hell. And Michael Thomas, you could tell, was taking every word super personal. You know how he is anyways. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't put respect on his name, Like he's whiny. He is a whiny little Buckeye.
Yeah, but we're going to be looking at this guy as going down as possibly the great, one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game.
Absolutely. I have nothing to say about his game. He is, to me, he's the wide receiver one fantasy all day. To me, it's not close because of the consistency and the rapport with Drew Brees, who's back again. He's the number one guy for me. He's my number one, and that will not change. I don't care if he's a diva. It doesn't bother me in fantasy land.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, we transition from Tom Brady to other guys we either used to hate or still hate, I don't like you, Michael Thomas. You're kind of a bitch.
Still love him.
I say on real Appalachia when I say you're kind of a bitch. But he just, you know, be a little more humble, Michael. You are one of the best. We all think it. So when Devontae Parker tries to say he made one play better than you, who cares? You're obviously way, way better than Devontae Parker. I'm a Dolphins fan. Michael, you're better than Devontae. It's easy. It's not a discussion. Anyways.
You good?
I'm good.
You just
had to vent.
You want
to
move on?
You know what, Mike? Yeah, let's go. Move on. You know what, Michael Thomas?
All right, so Barker and myself decided we were going to, you know, with kind of in the spirit of potential injuries, start just trying to find a few sleepers, handcuff-type guys that can help you that shouldn't get you or cost you a whole heck of a lot. You know, particularly for fantasy purposes. Obviously, this is a fantasy show. I don't know why the hell I said that. Anyhow, so we wrote down some names, various ways of looking at them, just potential opportunity, maybe guys that don't have the, quote, name. That's something that always gets said about Blake Martinez. Blake doesn't have a name. Nobody knows who Blake Martinez is except for Packers fans, it seems like. But
now Giants fan.
Yeah, now Giants fan.
Weird.
But the guy is literally, you know, a 100-tackle-a-year guy. So, once again, you know, guys who – we're not going to sit here and tell you they're going to be stars. But based on, you know, whether, once again, opportunity or end-of-season production or whenever they got a chance, you know, at points in their career, they end up being studs. Burke, who do you got first?
Well,
or who could be a stud? I'm sorry.
I want to preface this a little bit with the fact that startup drafts are happening. Like, part of the reason for diving into this a little early, startups are happening. I mean, leagues are starting to open up. I think what ESPN and Yahoo leagues typically get rolling in early June. Does that sound right? I think it's early June that those leagues open. So it's worth talking about. What one guy that I don't absolutely believe in, but I do still think is worth a shot, and it's crazy that I have to mention him as a sleeper so early, but N'Keal Harry is a guy that's value has taken a massive hit because mm-hmm. he did nothing. And there's a lot of guys in fantasy leagues like myself who tend to move on.
Yep.
I move on. Like, if you're not giving me any production in your rookie year when you should be more fired up than any other year, I tend to move on. N'Keal Harry, I think, is a really good buy low or late round startup draft pick. If it's dynasty, he might not be a late round. If it's redraft, he's a late rounder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the truth of it. He is a late rounder in redraft. But Jarrett Stidham, if he is the guy, I imagine him and N'Keal Harry have a ton of reps put in together. Oh, they would almost have to.
I'm sure.
So if New England is turning to a young quarterback, which a lot of folks are saying Brian Hoyer will be the guy, but N'Keal Harry has a great chance. They should just throw him in day one as a starter, no questions asked, if it's Stidham. Hell, if it's Hoyer, probably as well. So N'Keal Harry's a guy for me that I do have eyes on. I am gauging the market to see what I can acquire him for. I didn't love him coming out of college. I didn't love him in that draft, but there's just not a lot of options on New England, and I don't know how compelled Julian Edelman will be to play really well without Tom Brady. I could be wrong. I don't know him, you know, on a personal level, but it wouldn't surprise me if this is the decline of Edelman simply because he's not playing with his best friend anymore.
Yep.
So that would take a hit on me. Like, if you've got a great assistant manager at a job or a great number two and you lose them, mm-hmm. I've had that happen before and I took a hit. my motivation wasn't the same when I knew I didn't have that person I could lean on.
Yep,
was
the go-to.
So N'Keal Harry's interesting to me. Who do you got?
So we kind of played this game a couple years ago with Darius Leonard. And it's just somebody's got to succeed, right? Somebody's got to step up. And this is centered around the Cincinnati linebacking core.
Oh,
they've just been void of talent. The guy who stands out for me the most is Akeem Davis-Gathers.
That's a deep one.
He not even slated to start from what I'm seeing. But I think that once camp gets rolling, you know, he's going to have it. I think he's going to work his way into a starting position. There's not a lot of talent in Cincinnati. You know, nobody who's separated from the pack. But a kid out of, I believe, Appalachia State, monster, you know, in his division, so to speak, monster against his competition. Obviously, you know, there's always the worry that his competition just wasn't good enough. But fast guy, plays kind of like safety speed. He's a little bit undersized, but that's not the end of the world whenever you're talking about linebacker. Can track down guys. I think that if there's a Darius Leonard in this class, like a guy who's underappreciated and underdrafted, it's going to be Akeem Davis Gathers. Sticking with Cincinnati, I'm just going to go through the other ones I do like. So he was a fourth rounder. Logan Wilson, I believe, out of Wyoming, was a third rounder. He put up a ton of ton of tackles in college. You know, one of these guys have to step up. And then there's a name that nobody has ever heard of, unless you were, I believe, a Jacksonville fan, and that's Austin Calitro. Basically, between weeks 15 and 16, the guy had 19 tackles. You know, 19. So he's shown flashes. He may end up in a starting role in Cincinnati. Someone's got to step up. Somebody's got to get some tackles, and I believe it's going to be one of those three guys.
Okay. Well, I'll go on the IDP side with you. A guy that really shouldn't be considered a sleeper, but I think is Taylor Rapp, the Rams safety, quietly put up 100 total tackles in his rookie year, 62 solo, 38 assists. I had this guy. He also had 8 defended passes. I had this guy like 3 or 4 games into the season and ended up dropping him just because the first 6 games of his career, there were no double-digit games. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I'm counting on a rookie way too soon at a you know position where I could just go grab a veteran and get that consistent 10 points a game. But Taylor Rapp was – very quietly excellent last year.
Week eight on, he was number 4
in
fantasy scoring,
which is massive. And the kid's 22, and a lot of people aren't going to think about this guy come time for IDP startups or trades. I mean, this is still a guy, the name recognition is not there yet, so you could squeeze him into another trade. Like you could be like, well, we're close, but throw in Taylor Rapp. 20% owned in my fantasy league. That's ridiculous. Which they may be counting
non-IDP
leagues, but even still, this is a guy that will help your team and really had a fantastic second half of the year. And that's one of the hard positions to find a really good long-term solution at.
Oh my God, yes.
So one of the hardest. But when you got a guy who's one of your like Charles Woodson in fantasy. When you find that guy,
you just can't get rid of him. Landon Collins, you just can't get rid of him.
No, don't move on him. So this guy's looking like he's going to be one of those players. Arms, let's take a little break to talk about our sponsor, betonline.ag. There is no shortage of action going on at our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. As you all know, NASCAR is back. And BetOnline has hundreds of games, events, and sports to still get in on. You can bet on simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC, or even participate in a $10,000 Madden Bracket Challenge, a March Madness-style NFL simulation tournament that you can enter for free. And coming up next Sunday, BetOnline has ex-Chicago Bulls Ron Harper, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, I loved Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining them to discuss the Michael Jordan documentary on what they are calling The Final Dance. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus and check out all the action. BetOnline, your online wagering solution.
So here's a guy. My next guy is someone that's, if you're in fantasy circles, you love him. A lot of people love him. If you're just listening because you want to get better at fantasy, you don't know, you may not have even heard the name before, but it's Bryan Edwards. I know you're a big Bryan Edwards guy, and I know a lot of people who are listening are Bryan Edwards guys, but this isn't necessarily for you.
No, I wasn't. The landing spot changed a lot for me. The reason I wasn't was just injury concerns. Yep. He's a good player, but the landing spot's phenomenal.
So basically, you know, the fantasy foot community's in love with him. I mean, he's 6'3". He does have knee and foot issues, but the foot issue came from overworking, trying to get back in time for the Senior Bowl from a knee issue. Had to get scoped. Because if without these injuries, he's probably a second rounder. Ends up falling to pick 81, I think it was. So in the third instead. No. Yeah, in the third round. The Raiders' third wide receiver taken in this year's draft class. Also, kind of to stick with, I'm just going to stick with that team real quick and run through some reason being on these. I think Renfro, he caught 49 balls last year, but in week 16 and 17, he had 13 receptions for 209 yards and 2 touchdowns. So finished the season incredibly strong. You add Ruggs to take off the top, kind of puts him into a, you know, de facto wide receiver one role. Tyrell Williams still there. You know, he's better suited as a number two wide receiver to begin with. Adding in Bryan Edwards, it's going to take some pressure off to leave Renfro to work underneath, and I think he's going to actually probably pace that team in receptions next year. And I don't think that 80 to 90 catches is out of question for him.
See, I want to say that. I have a hard time looking at that team and imagining Bryan Edwards in the game that much.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you do have Hunter Renfro. You should not cut his snaps. You do have Tyrell Williams. You do now have Henry Ruggs. So, I mean, they're not running four wide receiver sets very often. So
and they've got Waller.
And they have Waller. So how often is Bryan Edwards going to get a chance to play? If he shows well in training camp, he's money.
Yeah.
He's money because they need wide receivers and they need them now. But if Tyrell Williams looks good and Ruggs looks good and Renfro looks good and Bryan Edwards is like a little behind, which is very possible because of all the shit going on mm-hmm. right now, then I don't know. But if Bryan Edwards looks great in training camp, yeah, I think you can book it for 70 to 80 receptions. It's a lock. If he can win a starting position by game one, it's a lock.
You're talking about Edwards? Because I moved on to Renfro.
Oh, I'm talking about Edwards.
I think Renfro can get up to 90.
See, I don't.
I love Renfro. Sticking in the slot because of the other guys working around him.
It's possible. But, I mean, there's just – I don't want to say there's so many weapons because there's not. But there's so many weapons of similar talent. Waller, Renfro, Tyrell Williams, they're kind of in like a – they're middle-tier guys mm-hmm. to me. Waller looked great. I'm not ready to put him in a top tier yet.
Yeah.
If he does it again, sure, he's top-tier tight end. But I there's no head and shoulders above talent there.
You're right.
So I think those receptions are going to be split a lot of ways unless Bryan Edwards looks phenomenal. Because we've said it before, I don't think Ruggs is a high PPR kind of guy. It's maybe touchdowns. Maybe he gets to 10 because of what he can do once he has the ball in his hands. But I don't see him catching 70 or 80 balls.
No, we're on the same page there. I mean, as much as I'd like for him to, you know.
Yeah, you want to make that first-round pick look great, and you want to be a fan of Ruggs from the get-go.
And me and you've talked about this many times. It's just there's so much love around Ruggs, you know, the fantasy community, a lot of people loving the pick. You put the words in my mouth for me. As a Raiders fan, if Jerry Jeudy was just not there, I would have been a lot more, you know, comfortable with this pick. If Jeudy if Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb were both off the board, fine, take Ruggs, awesome pick where you got him. But both of them were there, and we still took him, and I know there's a lot of mouths to feed, and I know that there's, you know, had a great quarterback his whole career, blah, blah, blah. But 746 yards, I think, is his career max. And he's fast, and he's a guy that completely ruins whenever you think you've got a good angle on him. He just proves you wrong. I mean, with that kind of speed, and his speed is truly special. But wow, the difference between him and someone like, you know, sure hand, you know, perfect route runner Jerry Jeudy, ran a 4.43.
Well, let's just talk about real quickly the past 3 years of we'll go top 12. We won't even minimize it to 10. Mm-hmm. So let's go 2017. Stop me when you hear a guy that is a burner.
Mm-hmm.
Stop me when you hear a guy that was drafted on speed.
It's Tyreek Hill, and that's it.
Let's make sure.
Okay.
So 2017, you got DeAndre Hopkins. Remember, just stop me. We don't have to add anything to him. Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas, Larry Fitzgerald, Julio Jones. There's Tyreek at number 8. Adam Thielen, A.J. Green, Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate. Top 12 from 2017. Golden Tate in there.
Just Tyreek.
Just Tyreek. So you move on to 2018, which will take me a second, but obviously you guys see exactly where we're going here, but I think Tyreek makes multiple appearances in most of those every single year. So 2018, the top wide receivers, top 12 were Hopkins, Tyreek, I think his biggest year,
mm-hmm.
Julio, Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas, Adam Thielen, a lot of similarities going on here,
mm-hmm.
Juju, Mike Evans, Robert Woods, Stephon Diggs, and Keenan Allen. So, again, it's Tyreek. And then in 2019, I'm pretty sure we had a very similar situation. Let's check to be sure. Talking pure burners here and how they finished. Top burners in the top 12. So, last year, Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, Julio, Cooper Kupp, Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Julian Edelman, Allen Robinson, Galladay, Devontae Parker, definitely not a burner, Amari Cooper, and Jarvis Landry. So Tyreek wasn't even in the top 12 there, but so guys like Hollywood Brown, guys like DeSean Jackson, guys like Henry Ruggs. I know Henry Ruggs has the potential to be more. He does have
He's more of a route runner in theory.
In theory. And he does have the body and the build mm-hmm. to be more. I mean, he could be Steve Smith-like. He could be a fast Antonio Brown mm-hmm. body-wise
yeah.
and skill. So, I mean, I'm not counting him out. I'm absolutely not counting him out. But he was drafted based on speed.
I mean, it's Raiders drafting, you know, 101. Pick the freaking fast guy, you know what I mean? And I guess what I think the thought process was is they see Tyreek Hill, they see what he does to people. You know, they faced him 6 times in the past 3 years, and it's always, you know, the guy changes the way you have to play defense, and he really does. I mean, that kind of speed is it that guy's not available in every draft class.
Right.
What I will say, and I'm not saying that Jerry Jeudy is, you know, going to be great or going to be a bust, but there are route runners in every draft class.
Yeah.
So the theory behind it is, you're not going to be able to get a Ruggs next year, the year after that, but you're probably going to be able to get a CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
You're probably going to be able to get a Jerry Jeudy type guy, even if it's 90% of them, you know, a 90% compatibility or, you know, similarity. That's enough if you need to address it later.
Yeah.
There's not going to be another, most likely, another 4.27 guy out there.
He was a great first round pick. I don't have a problem with him being the first wide receiver off the board.
I do too.
Don't get me wrong there, but I mean, Henry Ruggs, is he an early first rounder? Yeah, he is, because he could totally change your whole offense if you've got another good wide receiver, whether it's Bryan Edwards or Tyrell or, you know, Renfrow. This guy could completely make your offense lethal, just like Tyreek did in Kansas City. That doesn't mean he's a fantasy shoe-in. That's the only thing with me. I see him as a perennial 60, 65 catch guy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a 1,000-yarder, definitely, if he catches 60 or 65.
And he's going to give you weeks of 3 points.
Yeah, and he's going to give you probably 7 to 10 touchdowns on the year. He's going to be a fine fantasy 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Like, but but for people to just jump on this wagon that the more we watch of Ruggs, he's going to be electric. Yeah, it probably is, but we're talking fantasy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Henry Ruggs, in my opinion, will be a better football player than a fantasy asset.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, this is why guys like Albert Wilson still have a job. Albert mm-hmm. Wilson is a guy that can change the dynamic of your offense, but you're silly if you're paying for him in fantasy.
Yeah.
Because it's just not going to happen. There's guys like that on every team. Yeah. There's Tavon Austin who keeps sticking around the league yep. because he's a decoy. He's fast. Somebody's got to cover him or else he's going to burn you. Doesn't mean he's going to catch a ton of balls because he's not. But, I mean, we've seen a ton of these guys in the NFL.
Run straight, go fast. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's not Ruggs. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
We're just saying he falls somewhere in between.
And if we look at this list, I would lay money that more often than not of those top 12, I'll bet 8 of them are 6'3 or taller.
At least 6'2.
Yeah, well, okay, we'll cut off 6'2 then. But, you know, there's only a handful of 5'10 to 6 foot guys that are high end.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking great route runners and great contested ball guys.
Yep.
Which Henry Ruggs is pretty good contested.
Yep.
I mean, I I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm just saying the risk carries the same weight as the reward, and I tend to stay away from guys like that. I tend to go with the Jerry Jeudy where the risk to me is minimal.
Yeah,
I agree. Like that it's minimal. CeeDee Lamb, minimal. Minimal risk. Brandon Ayuk is minimal risk to me.
I think so, too.
So, I mean, Ruggs.
CeeDee Lamb is the whenever the we say risk spot, fantasy-wise, I think there's risk that he's a bust for a couple years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michael Gallup's good.
Yeah.
And Amari Cooper's good. But, you know, it's all he has to do is be as good as he should be coming out of college, and he's going to cut into somebody's catches. Somebody's not going to catch as many balls as they should because of CeeDee Lamb. And then it's just a matter of time. I mean, Gallup, what this will be his third year in the league. So,
yeah. He looked better than Amari Cooper did last year.
Right. But if for some reason CeeDee Lamb and Gallup split numbers a little, we could probably accept to see Gallup move on to another team in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So CeeDee Lamb probably, you know, there's not really any scenario where he's just stuck as the third guy in the pecking order for years.
Yeah,
it's not
going to
happen.
Absolutely not.
He was probably drafted to be insurance in case Gallup went back to his injury-prone ways.
Yeah.
So, and to make that whole offense better. They've got a juggernaut if they keep it healthy.
That is going to be particularly in Madden, it's going to be the most terrifying offense to play. Just wide receivers. I mean, you have to account for everyone, and then you got a running back who can, you know, just eat you alive up the gut or bounce it outside and dominate you.
Right.
So, moving on.
Bounce it up the gut and dominate you. I like that line.
So, just a quick hit, sticking with the Raiders. Damon Arnette, just merely the Tre'Davious White effect. We've talked about this before, and that is just a cornerback who's going to get targeted because nobody thinks he's good, and for a while he's going to get some fantasy production. Don't rely on him for a playoff run.
I'm going to go back to offense.
Okay.
What happens every single year, Arms, in training camps, a running back always goes down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, typically, every single year, a running back goes down, and teams are scrambling to trade for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think history says that's going to happen. History says some team that thinks they have a shot to go far into the playoffs, sadly, is going to lose a running back. Leonard Fournette's going to be dangled mm-hmm. in front of that team. I say it's a 60% chance Leonard Fournette is on another team before week one, which leaves Rykel Armstead to me.
I thought about having him on my list as a
pretty sizable sleeper. Now, Chris Thompson is there as well, but Chris Thompson is...
We know what he is.
He's a pass catcher.
Pass catching back.
Right. So, Rykel Armstead, that could be a nice sleeper pick for someone because I don't think they can reconcile all the damage. We've got multiple timelines of trade rumors with Leonard Fournette. At some point, probably closer to the season, you would think he has to demand mm-hmm. a trade to where they come down on their asking price, where he just gets shipped out for a fourth rounder to someone.
I mean, this guy's been on the block for his entire career, it seems like.
Feels like it.
And there's something amiss with Fournette in Jacksonville. And yeah, I think that Armstead could have some, you know, some success if given the opportunity. I mean, I know you liked him a lot coming out last year, so.
Yeah. Well, we got an undrafted free agent that a lot of players have liked too, and Divine Azigbo on that team as well. I have seen people talk about him.
I've had some Divine Azigbo shares.
I've seen that you've had some Divine mm-hmm. shares of the Divine one. So you never know. But Rekell Armstead, to me, I liked him coming out. A lot of people drafted him in the second round of rookie drafts just because we thought Leonard Fournette was a goner last year. So that's a sleeper pick to me as well. And running backs are hard to come by. So last round in your dynasty drafts, you can probably land Rekell Armstead.
So I'll stick to defense as I have been. Our guy, Nick Kwiatkowski.
We love Nick Kwiatkowski. I think you all know that.
So interesting stat I uncovered. He had 56 tackles, which is okay, but he only played 48% of the snaps last year. He's in line for 90%. You know, to have 56 tackles in half the playing time, obviously you can't just say, oh, he's going to have 100. But 80, 90? Absolutely. I know they've got, you know, they've got Littleton. You know, it's not like they have a slouch beside him.
But yeah, but Littleton is not just a thumper, correct?
Correct.
I mean, Littleton can play, you know, he can cover, mm-hmm. and he can cover the edge, he can cover the slot guy, and he's a tackler. Nick Kwiatkowski is your classic middle linebacker.
Yep.
He is your classic plug the middle and rack up tackles guy. So I expect Nick Kwiatkowski, as long as he's starting, which they paid him,
yep.
he's a starter.
Yep.
I think he's going to lead that team in tackles, at least from the linebacker position. Littleton will possibly have a better fantasy season based off pass breakups.
I think it's going to be close between
them. It's going to be really close, but as far as tackle standpoint, I like Kwiatkowski the most.
I mean, he's only owned in 13% of leagues.
That's ridiculous.
And to put it in perspective, yes, this doesn't have all, you know, it does include the non-IDP leagues because it had Landon Collins only owned in 27%. So,
yeah,
in perspective,
that gives us a little better.
It basically, idea. He's owned in half of IDP leagues.
But if let's say Landon Collins, let's just say 27% equals 100
yep.
in real time, because it should. That still means Nick Kwiatkowski's owned in half of the IDP yeah. leagues. That's crazy. He should be 100% owned.
Nick Kwiatkowski is without a doubt going to be a top 15 IDP fantasy linebacker this year. Without a doubt. Unless your league is like,
I agree,
super heavy on sacks, because I don't think he's going to get a lot of sacks. I mean, he had 3 last year. But if it's just a tackle-based league to where, you know, sacks are 3 points instead of 6 or 8, he's going to be a top 15 guy.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I couldn't agree more. So, yeah, he's definitely one to watch. I'm going to go back to offense since Arms is bringing IDP heat out the Ryan Leaf hole. Yes. So Sam Darnold's a guy to me that I think is going to be a really sneaky grab mm-hmm. at the back end of drafts, and as a sleeper, and as somebody that you can trade for, because Sam Darnold, the shine has wore off of the draft position. The shine is off the guy. Like, real football guys like McShay, Todd McShay loves Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Kiper loves Josh Allen. They argue about
yeah.
They argue about those two all the time, and for good reason. Sam Darnold, when he has protection and when he has weapons, is going to be a good quarterback. I have zero doubts about it. I've seen the flashes. Sam Darnold is going to be a good quarterback. I think he's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback for years to come as soon as they can give him the time to actually play. That team's had a terrible line for a long time. They worked a lot on the offensive line this year. He's got Breshad Perriman, Jameson Crowder, and Denzel Mims, and Chris Herndon, who they said they're setting free this year. They're so high on that guy being a top 5 tight end that it's not even funny. Like, Chris Herndon, if we are to believe how high the Jets are on him, we've seen him flash.
Yeah.
That team's going to be much improved, especially on offense. Adam Gase is the wild card. If it all fails, it's Adam Gase's fault. But if Adam Gase can just be competent – then I think Sam Darnold is a quarterback that if you don't have one, you're going into the season with maybe Phillip Rivers in a dynasty league, and you don't know if you got 1 year left or none, and you need a future guy that you can get without breaking the bank, Sam Darnold is a really solid future guy, in my opinion.
I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan. I never have been.
Nor am I. But I believe that he's good.
See, I don't. Like, I think that he's just another USC quarterback who everyone wants to be good. They think he's going to be good, and he just that guy. Just a disappointment over and over again, because that's all the U.S. basically all the USC guys have been in the NFL. I know it's a different narrative, right? It's not a Pete Carroll team, blah, blah, blah. But, my God, they keep putting out these, you know, top or first-round quarterbacks, and they're all garbage.
I mean, Carson Palmer's not garbage. I mean,
that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is. But I don't want to err. Me personally, I'm not going to err on the side of college history.
I understand
for Darnold.
That.
I like what I've seen in a Jets uniform out of Darnold when he has time to throw.
I think
throw.
He gets too rattled. And
no
I,
wonder.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have time for anything. But if he's getting too rattled, you get to him a time or two.
It's possible he could be ruined already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. We've seen it. Tim Couch, David Carr.
But I just think that it's always going to be in his mind that he's got to get rid of the ball too quick and he's going to force it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Jets, and a name that's fallen off a lot of radars, Blake Cashman, your guy.
I love Blake, but Avery Williamson is coming back. C.J. Mosley is coming back. Cashman, sadly, is going to be reverted to a backup role. But he's one injury away again. But he's also coming off an injury.
Yeah.
But he's one injury away from getting right back in there and paying dividends. Hey, he's a guy that I believe in that I'm not dropping. I've got him on just about every team, and I cannot drop him because I think he's a good player.
So, they've also got Patrick Onwusor. I think he probably slated outside for him.
Yeah, yeah. And Cashman's definitely a middle guy.
Our lads usually the most up-to-date rosters. They have Cashman as a starter. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's not going to happen unless one of those guys has a setback, but I like to believe it'll happen. Few comments real quick. The Fantasy Football Show, dangerously close to the Back Row Fantasy Show, fellas. I don't know what to think about that, but the Fantasy Football Show says that Breeze, Brady, and A-Rod are the values late in 2020. Mm-hmm. I don't think A-Rod's a late value at all. I still see him going middle of most drafts. He doesn't always go late. Breeze, Brady, I don't think those guys go late in redraft.
No.
I mean, redraft, I don't think they're going late.
No.
They're going later than they used to.
They're falling off and possibly going near undrafted in 16-team dynasty or anything under
12-team.
Yeah.
12-team dynasty. Yeah. So values, yeah, absolutely. A-Rod, I'm not sure. I hate to call him a value, but I guess in our mock draft he went pretty late, but I think some people thought. So I don't think everyone got the message that it was dynasty 12 team non-IDP startup mock, so a lot of people were drafting like it was redraft, but either way.
Yeah. So I'm going to move over to KJ Hill.
Chargers KJ Hill.
Yeah, so the Los Angeles Chargers. So they've got Keenan Allen.
San Diego.
Who, of course, has some injury history, right? You got Mike Williams, who just hasn't been what they wanted him to be. And outside of that, I really don't have anything at wide receiver. Nothing to keep someone like KJ Hill from, you know, climbing into a starting role. I mean, I know they picked up Joe Reed a couple rounds before Hill, but I still think with all the production he had at Ohio State, he could slide up and get into a top three, and then he's an injury away from being on the field for 90% of the snaps.
Yeah, there's no Travis Benjamin anymore.
Yeah.
And this to me, is a pretty solid replacement for a Travis Benjamin. Whether he gets the playing time or not, I'm not sure. But if you're looking to dig deep, KJ Hill's a good name.
Literally undrafted in a fantasy, just a rookie draft.
Oh, he does in most of them.
Yeah.
He's kind of priority free agent. Like, you see people spending more fantasy football dollars on him than most of the other guys, so he's priority. But I if I have the picks, like, he's a fourth rounder for me, I take him. I don't want to let him not get drafted. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like KJ Hill. I don't hate that at all, because you're right. One injury away, guy like KJ Hill, it's just a matter of who's going to be throwing the ball.
Yeah. So I of course, I'm Ohio State fan, so we've got that. Got anyone else you want to talk about? I still got a few to go through.
Go through some of yours. I'll read the last comment here. The Fantasy Football Show does want to know what we think of Daniel Jones, because they consider him a late-round gem. I agree. I think Daniel Jones is I don't know if I call him a gem, because I don't think he's going to have like a top five fantasy quarterback season. But as far as a young guy to build with in Dynasty, I see this is where the Sam Darnold thing comes along. I'm really comfortable going into a Dynasty with Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold. I'm comfortable with like Daniel Jones and Josh Allen. I'm comfortable with
you. Give me Josh Allen. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, Daniel Jones to me, he is a guy that won't surprise me to see starting in 12 teamers. So I'll go that far on Daniel Jones. He looked good
at times.
They did not have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
They put some work into the offensive line. So could he take a leap? Absolutely. Could he be sophomore slump? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. So late round gem, I don't think I would go that far, but I do like Daniel Jones, and I'm comfortable with him as my future. I don't have a good one.
You take a Daniel Jones over Drew Brees?
That depends on the format, I guess. If it's Dynasty, yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm still trying to win now with Brees. I know you like Jones. I just feel like last year is what Daniel Jones
is.
Well,
let's put it this way. You have a fringe playoff team in a Dynasty league, and you have Drew Brees, and someone offers you Daniel Jones straight up for Drew Brees. And you're looking at your team on paper and thinking, I might be a year away from really competing. Right. So
in that year, you may not have Drew Brees.
Right.
So I
think there's a lot of variables that go into that. If it's redraft, give me Brees all day. If I've got a absolutely killer team with a young guy in the wings, like a Darnold or a Tua or something, and somebody offers me Daniel Jones for Drew Brees, I'm going to counter and give me a little more.
Yeah.
But I would rather have Brees on that team. But it would be hard.
Gotcha.
It'd be hard to let go of Daniel Jones in a situation like that, just because I think he could be really good.
Gotcha. So, I'll stick with some IDP. Like I said, Dre Greenlaw, low owned. He was linebacker 4 from week 10 on. Like, this guy just all over the field, gets a ton of tackles, and yet still low percentage. I didn't end up writing it down for him, but I want to say it was like under 40% owned.
Mm.
Yeah, which is just
ludicrous.
Just pathetic. Give me 1 second. I'm pulling something up. Because there was an exit from the team. That was, I feel like somebody left that team. It doesn't really matter. So, on down at Shaq Quarterman, he's the backup to Joe Schobert. But there's two things Joe Schobert does and does well. One's get tackles, the other one's get injured. So, I feel like Quarterman's going to have an opportunity to get on the field at some point this year. Another one, this one surprises me that he was low owned, but Anthony Walker.
Anthony of Colts, Anthony Walker.
Yes.
Yeah, I traded for him recently because, listen, that team has two guys in the middle that can rack up tackles. Yeah, it's Darius Leonard, but again, Leonard is Littleton, and Walker is Kwiatkowski.
Yeah,
I mean, Walker's going to rack up tackles, and Walker can actually cover as well. Mm-hmm. Walker's like kind of the whole deal, just
I
like
love
Leonard
Walker coming out.
I did too, and I love him now as a fantasy guy. It's just, he takes a hit because he's not the best linebacker on his team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any linebacker is not going to be the best linebacker on their team if they're playing with Darius Leonard.
Yeah.
But he takes a hit just because Leonard's beside him. But that does not mean Anthony Walker is not absolutely a fantasy asset. I'm really glad I got him on my team.
Oh, yeah. No, I as I'm going through the list, like, I want to say finish on the season like linebacker 17, but still, like, just not getting the respect that he deserves. He needs to have a higher ownership percentage, and this was started, he was owned 14% of leagues, which is about half based on what we were doing, and started like 30% of the time.
Yeah.
It's top 17 guys started 30% of the time. What are you playing? Literally one linebacker league? You know what I mean? This is what I don't get.
Is there such a thing?
No, there shouldn't be.
There shouldn't be.
So, yeah, just trying to roll through and get my...
Your names out
my,
there.
My defensive players
out. Your names out your mouth. It feels good to talk some IDP, but I am going to go back on the offensive side of the ball yet again because we haven't mentioned a tight end. And even though I talked about him on a different show, I don't think I got to say exactly what I wanted to say. Ian Thomas is still a guy that is not getting drafted until the end of fantasy startups, whether it's Dynasty, whether it's redraft, it doesn't matter. I'm not seeing Ian Thomas's number being called, mm-hmm. and I get that. I totally get that. Everyone has already forgotten what he did in 2018, which was fill in extremely admirably for Greg Olsen in 2018. Olsen comes back. Ian Thomas gets set just basically because, hey, our veteran, our guy that's done it for years is back. He's the starter, no question about it. Greg Olsen's gone now. Ian Thomas has the potential to be a top five tight end. I'm not shitting you when I say that. I believe in Ian Thomas that much. Like, if Ian Thomas stays healthy at the end of the year, I believe he'll be top five. I absolutely believe he'll be top five. If he's not injured, he'll be a top five fantasy tight end at the end of the season.
Okay.
That's how strongly I feel about Ian Thomas. Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Two Gloves is there. I mean, DJ Moore is a fantasy stud. Christian McCaffrey's a fantasy stud. But the tight end landscape is atrocious. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not take much to get in the top five. It takes a lot to get in the top two. But it doesn't take a lot to get in the top five. I think Ian Thomas will finish in the top five, barring lack of injury. So draft him. Even if he doesn't place top five, I think he's a shoe-in for top 10. A shoe-in. So don't let him fall to someone else in the latter parts of your draft because you forgot what he did in 2018. Ian Thomas.
Speaking of tight ends, man, like, I still feel Dallas Goedert's probably the best tight end in Philly with Ertz. I mean, Ertz is great, but I think Goddard's going to take that step ahead this year.
Goddard's going to make him expendable.
Yes, and I look for a real nice year out of Goddard. Keep in mind, last year he finished as a top 10, literally tight end number 10 for fantasy purposes, and that's second year in the league. Like, he's just growing, just getting better. Goddard's going to end up being a really special guy for years to come.
Yeah. Goddard's already going where he should in fantasy drafts. Like, he's already performing really well draft-wise. So, I think people are on to it.
Good.
People have caught on to the fact that Dallas Goedert is at some point in the next couple of years going to be a fantasy stud at tight end. So, I agree with you 1,000,000%.
I could see Goddard, you know, getting into that, if Ertz ever leaves, you know, asserting himself as a top three guy.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I do want to back myself up just a little bit. I want to just run through what Ian Thomas did in 2018 when he got inserted into the starting lineup with five games to go. So the first game in the starting lineup, he targeted five times, and he caught all five of them for 46 yards. The second game of his career as a starter, he was targeted 11 times. He caught 9 of those for 77 yards. The next game, not so great. Two catches out of 4 targets for 14 yards. Aberration. Those happen. Next game, targeted 5 times, caught 4 for 48 and a touchdown. And the final game of the season, targeted 7 times, caught 5 for 61 and a touchdown as a rookie. So I haven't extrapolated those numbers yet, but he has the potential to be really good as the starter there.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, starting role, offense loves to throw the ball now.
Right.
You know, they don't not address quarterback, you know, with a guy who wants to throw it 60 times a game. You know, it just is what it is.
And just to kind of back arms up a little bit on Goddard, Goddard in 2019 as the freaking number 2 tight end, had 87 targets.
Mm-hmm.
87 targets. Like, that's...
he cracks 100 this year.
He cracks... Yeah, oh, hell yeah. Yeah, he does. Absolutely. Dallas Goedert 100. Absolutely cracks 100. Dallas Goedert caught 58 balls for 607 and 5 on a team with Zach Ertz. Tell me this kid's not going to be a stud when he gets the chance.
The thing is, he's got a chance now, right? He's already got a chance. Now, once he slides into that tight end number one role, that's going to be the difference maker for him.
Yeah.
So, a couple guys who end up getting just a lack of respect. Darius Geis, you know, the injuries are definitely concerns, but the guy averaged 5.8 yards a carry.
Again, if he's healthy.
If healthy, stud. Ronald Jones, guys, stop sleeping on him.
I love Ronald. I love Ronald this year.
I don't think he had a single game ever with 20 carries. He only had two games with more than 14 carries. Think about that. Played 17 weeks, had two games with more than 14 carries, and had 724 yards.
It's taken a while for them to buy into him and for him to buy into them. Like, Keyshawn Vaughn, nice 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn's probably going to provide a nice, you know, second punch. Now, if you're America's sweetheart, Garrett Price of the Dynasty Nerds, you know, you don't want to hear what I got to say, because he loves Keyshawn Vaughn, and that's cool. We all got guys that we love, and Garrett is a really good analyst that could just be spot on with him. But I love Ronald Jones, and I'm not willing to buy into the fact that Keyshawn Vaughn is going to come in as a rookie on a Tom Brady-led team and be the guy. I think Tom Brady's going to see a guy like Ronald Jones and be like, wow, this guy's a little bit of a combination between Sony Michel and James White. Actually, he could be a lot Sony Michel, let's just use him like we should.
Yep.
And Tom Brady might fall in love with Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones is ready for the spotlight. He's ready for 15-plus carries a game consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, you're going to have a top 15 running back on your hands.
For darn near free.
He's close enough. He's
going to be cheap.
Closer to free than most other running backs that have top 15 potential.
Correct.
So out of all the guys that have that kind of potential, your cheapest grab is Ronald Jones. So if you do need a running back, I think, and you don't have a lot of assets that you can get rid of for a guy, go get Ronald Jones. Figure out how to make it happen. I made it happen with Daryl Henderson and like a third-round rookie pick, basically. I am pumped. Because then I took Keyshawn Vaughn at 111, 1.11.
And now you're set.
And I felt horrible because I don't think Keyshawn Vaughn should have went that early, but I had Ronald Jones. So I have to back myself up because I have been known to be wrong.
That's once or twice. Not a big deal.
No biggie.
So sticking with offense on me, I like Kelvin Harmon this year. I liked Kelvin Harmon coming out of college.
We both did. Like, we're both Harmon guys.
Had him as like a top 10 college receiver. Just loved the way he catches the ball. Loved the way he tracks the ball. I remember really liked last year's wide receiver class. It was a fun one to watch. A lot of healthy scratches last year. Wasn't playing. Once he finally started cracking the field, when Dwayne Haskins took over quarterback, I mean, most of his games, 5 or 6 targets. As a rookie,
and that's on a bad team.
Yeah, with Terry McLaurin there.
Yeah,
you know he's not. He doesn't have to be tasked with being that number one wide receiver because that's going to scary Terry. But you know he had some moderate success, we'll say.
Yeah,
you know some 8 to 10 point games. I just think he builds on that. If Haskins grows as I anticipate he will, a lot of people don't like Haskins, but as Haskins grows, they start airing it out more. They have a viable run game. Like, I really think Kelvin Harmon's got some upside. Now, he's not going to be a top 10 guy, but I could see him being a solid wide receiver too by the end of the year.
Right. And I give you a lot of crap on Haskins, but again, if I'm an owner of Breeze or Brady or Rivers and I don't have a future quarterback sitting behind him or maybe all I have is a, you know, Jacoby Brissett, Jacob Eason kind of situation, like, go grab Haskins. Because the upside is there. He is not a bust. We're 1 year in. Most quarterbacks suck as rookies. It's a fact. Most quarterbacks suck as rookies. Peyton Manning sucked as a rookie. Tom Brady sucked as a rookie. Not that we know that 100%, but he didn't win the job.
No.
So, I mean, a lot of guys.
He also had a number one overall draft pick ahead of him.
Correct. But an older number one overall guy in Drew Bledsoe. But Dwayne Haskins still has all the talent in the world to make it happen. So he's another Sam Darnold to me. Take the chance. Washington invested pretty heavily in their offense this offseason. You got Gandy Golden. You got Antonio Gibson.
Golden Gandy.
Samuel Debo Samuel situation with Golden Gandy.
You might have been right about Gandy Golden. AGG.
No, it's Golden Gandy. It is. Golden Gandy, 100%.
Yeah.
I just do this. I have dyslexia moments on the show. It's just what happens. I mean, so.
And it's Gandy Golden.
So Haskins Dwayne is probably going to grow with these guys. He's got a good young core of talent around him. They've got running backs for days that just need healthy. Bryce Love is a player when he's healthy. Darius Geis, we know what he can do when he's healthy. Antonio Gibson, there's guys on this team. He's got guys there. It's just now it's a question of what did they do in place of Trent Williams? I don't know. Do they have a gaping hole on the left side of the line now, or did they have someone?
They didn't
ready?
Have him last year.
No, they didn't. But, I mean, they weren't that good year, either. So,
a couple things that make it. It's very interesting with Haskins' growth, and this is I've got Aaron Rodgers in the league, and I'm just trying to figure out how I can acquire Haskins and something of value for Aaron Rodgers. And like the guy just won't, I think Haskins is going to be a stud. He's like the other guy other than me who actually likes him. Anyway, with Haskins' growth, him and Kelvin Harmon, his wide receiver, grew up together. All right, so they've got some rapport from that. He's got Terry McLaurin, who he played with in college. Like, there's just, like, rapport for days with the receiving quarterback, combo down there in Washington. I 100%, I think they finished no worse than second in the division. It's going to be hard to knock off Dallas because of what they've got on both sides of the ball. But I do think they have a shot at making a run on the division.
Over the Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
And over the Giants?
Yeah.
I don't. I still think they're the fourth place team.
I think they'd make a huge jump. Huge jump.
I forget your Haskins love.
Yeah, well, adding in Chase Young, they've got speed rushers on both sides of both bookends. Like they've got some upgrades on defense that it's underappreciated. I mean, if you think about going way back to the Eli Manning era Super Bowls, You win against a lot of these high-flying teams by being able to get pressure with four. And I think they've built that front, that front seven to be able to get pressure with four. And it's going to be a little bit – you're going to see a very changed Washington Redskins team this year.
They're going to be improved. There's no doubt about it. Like, they are going to be improved. But, I don't know. I'm not willing to go that far on them.
I mean, second place in a division is not exactly, a glowing recommendation.
Right.
And, it's not like I'm putting them in the Super Bowl or the playoffs, but, yeah. Anyhow, I digress.
We digress. Got anything else, Brain?
No. No, it's good to be out of the house. Good to be out of the house today, and hopefully everything gets opened up and all this crap's over sooner than later.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. I mean, places are opening back up. People are congregating in large masses, and we're either all going to start dying or everything will be fine.
Basically.
Which I hate to, be that guy, but we are in small town USA. We're probably going to be fine here.
Oh, absolutely.
Which I'm not trying to make that any certain way. Just be careful in the big cities. Like, even though me and Arms fully believe that, we're QAnons, you think? I mean, do you think we have our conspiracy theories beliefs a little bit, but that doesn't mean we're not being safe and careful.
Oh, yeah, we're absolutely
trying to
follow the appropriate protocols whatnot.
Shit, how long did we go without being in the studio together? 6 weeks?
Six, seven weeks.
It was
a long, painful 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were being careful, even though we believed that we're all okay and there wouldn't have been a problem, but we went ahead and we were careful anyway. So you do the same. That way you can keep listening to us.
Exactly, and as Jim Justice or whoever it is, follow the effing guidelines.
Follow the effing guidelines. Hey, Porkman, little shout out from Porkman. At the end, he says, give Haskins a chance. Don't give up on him.
I'm not giving up on him. I'm telling you right now, I'm literally trying to acquire him everywhere I can.
Yes, in all ways, shapes, and forms. So he's when my, he says acquire,
he's my boo.
He is Arms' boo, and that's okay. I was with you last season. I loved him. I didn't think he was going to break the rookie touchdown record, but I liked him just about as much as you.
He didn't start enough games.
Good night.
Good night.
This concludes another episode of the Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening, and be sure to give us a review.
Into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.